And so this is Dopey. Fuck all you cunts. So high and so mighty. I'm so low and so drunk. And fuck Dopey Nation. Especially Wick. I'm shooting speedballs. Suck my limp dick. It's a very dopey Christmas. And what have we here? I just drank a cigarette, but in my beer. And so this is Christmas. What have we done? You went to a meeting and talked about Molly. I did a ton. I'm not sober. I'm still drinking. Fuck you.
Christmas, Dopey. Hello and welcome to Dopey podcast on drugs, addiction, and dumb shit. My name is Dave. That was, of course, the great Stephen Ray Brown with War is Dopey. And I don't think I'm going to do 5 days of Dopey after 2025. And I wasn't going to do today's episode. But my father, I was just out with my father, and he said, because I said I would do it, I had to do it. And I'm going to read an email from somebody kind of explaining why I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be able to do it. Hold on. Let's see. It is from a guy, a Canadian guy, shockingly, named Derek. I got to find this thing. Let's see. I know I saw it. Maybe it was did I imagine it? There we go, Derek. Oh, here we go. It's from Derek. He says, my take on 5 days a week Dopey. I might end up listening to less Dopey, not more. With 2 days a week, I can listen to most episodes and keep up. I can't listen 5 days a week, but that makes me feel like I'm not keeping up and that I'm missing out. I worry to avoid that feeling, I will end up listening to less Dopey. This is a classic Canadian attitude. Time will tell. By the way, and this is where it gets really screwy in Canadian. By the way, I think the interview with the curious elixir woman was worthy of Friday. She had great energy, Derek. So what that tells me is that Derek did listen to the Wednesday, even though he said he can't listen to the Wednesday. But it does seem like just too much for anyone to keep up with, especially me. Let's see if there's any... Last week on the Wednesday was the Bob Forrest, I think, and I think we read all those comments. But why did I read all the comments already if it was from the Wednesday? I know I read them all. I think I read them all yesterday. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, no, because today's Thursday, of course. Of course. Today's Christmas. How is your Christmas going? Our Christmas has been pretty good. My mother-in-law gave me the worst presents. My dad gave me really bad presents, too. But for some reason, I didn't feel bad about my dad giving me bad presents. But my mother-in-law giving me bad presents seemed like a real insult, which tells me that I need to practice acceptance and suck it up. Now, somebody wrote me a message saying that you guys should, that because today is such a hard day, I should tell you guys to keep the faith and keep on going. And for that, I say, keep on going, everybody. Just put it like this. Let's say, miraculously, somebody puts on Dopey right now and they're about to call the guy or the woman to get the drugs, or they're about to go to the liquor store. If I can influence you at this moment, let me influence you. Why not? Don't do it. You're going to be so fucking pissed you did it. you're going to be so pissed you did it, and everybody else is going to be pissed, and it's not, it's just not going to go well. Somebody had sent in an email or a voicemail about using successfully, and they sounded crazy in the voicemail. So again, that's another thing. First of all, leave comments on Spotify. And if I read, I'll read them. And if you want stickers, you just write us at dopeypodcast@gmail.com. Send in stories. I would love to know your take on 5 days of Dopey. I would love to hear about a drug story. Christmas drug story is always great. The old Christmas drug story that I used to tell was, it feels like yesterday. Me and Linda had started dating. We had started, no, maybe Linda was very pregnant. Maybe it was the first one or the second one? I don't know. Either she was pregnant or it was before she got pregnant. And we went to their family friend's house for Christmas. And it was one of these real gingerbread house kind of spots where, like, it smells like Christmas and there's that heavy heat perfume feeling in the air and there's like miniatures everywhere and angels and slogans and shit all over the place. But not like AA slogans like God loves us or angels are real or whatever, you know, like those kind of Christian plaques, maybe wine time and stuff like that. Home is where your mom is, these kinds of things. Anyway, I get over there. Somebody commented that I was Jewish, which was very, very uncomfortable. And I was not sober. I was smoking weed. I was off of heroin. And I went up to the medicine chest, as I was apt to do, and I opened the medicine cabinet, and there was a giant bottle of Xanax and a... Was there a bottle of... No, it was just, I think it was, there might have been some opiates, and there were definitely benzos, and I pilfered both. Or maybe it was just benzos, but I pilfered, and I went and I ate some, and it was just the most glorious Christmas. And then we went back, and they were still there the next year, and I think I was sober. I can't believe I don't remember this story. It's all the benzos. I think I might have taken them 2 years in a row, but then the third year, I went back and they were there and I was sober and I didn't take the pills. So I'm telling you, if you're about to go to someone's house, maybe you're listening to this podcast with headphones on, earbuds in your ear, and you're in the bathroom right now, don't take the benzos. All right, I'm going to read last week's Spotify comments. And last week I replayed episode 1 and 2 with Chris. And here's the comments. This is SXCKKBXII says, I've been listening since August of this year. I started from the beginning and have worked my way through 566. That's fucking impressive. I just subscribed to Patreon today. Thank you. I look forward to the perks that come with that. Also excited for the Dopey stickers and socks. I celebrated 11 months yesterday. Hold on. That's fucking awesome. I appreciate all that you do for the recovery community. Listen, if you didn't get the stickers and socks, send me an email and let me know who you are and where you live and we'll get it to you. Richard says, wild to see ABC play a clip of Dopey on Evening News, re the Reiner tragedy. Dave, you help so many people by making recovery non-preachy and accessible for those still using, but this is like the fourth day of focusing on Nick. The celeb chasing is one of the things I dislike about the show most. Dopey is fabulous and doesn't need to be TMZ-ish to get downloads or insert yourself into the story. I comment because I care about you and the show. Yeah, I mean, it was the biggest story in the country, and he was a big part of our show for a time, and I felt compelled to cover it, and I don't feel as compelled right now. I haven't mentioned it till this moment. I'm going to talk about it tomorrow, but only in how I feel badly about the whole thing and how what a crazy situation it is for us to be in, not just with Nick, just with tragedy. When tragedy benefits Dopey, how fucked up that is. Anyway, Bob Ross Yo says, remarkable, Dopey actually blew up. You interrupted Chris over 100 times, LOL. It didn't actually blow up, but thank you, Bob Ross Yo. Julie M. Kerr said, the constant interruptions during Chris's story was infuriating. Paula Bomer says, I can't figure out Patreon. I support other creators there. Not sure why Dopey Podcast will not give up. But any suggestions are welcome. Just go to www.patreon.com/dopeypodcast. It will be there. It'll be there, I promise you. And those are the comments. Leave more. I interrupted Chris a lot. I hadn't really developed this really high-end podcasting style then, and I thought it was funny. I didn't realize that it would echo into eternity, my interruptions of him. But he liked it. We had a good time. And I certainly miss Chris. I miss him I don't miss him every day at this point because it's been so long. But when I listen to him, it's very painful. And today, we did a Patreon poll a few weeks ago of what you wanted us to play next. And the number one thing was Chris's prison stories. And the number two thing was the amazing Jessa Reed's first appearance on Dopey. It was a classic. And that's what we're going to play. Jessa Reed's first appearance on Dopey. It was Chris and I recording at my father's apartment, I want to say 2017. And Jessa Reed called in. We were in the kitchen and it was very, very magical. So here we go. This is me, Chris, and a little bit of Jessa.
WELOVE 108 FM.
Music hitting your heart, cause I know you got a soul.
Hey,
listen if you're missing, y'all. Swinging while I'm singing.
Hey,
giving what you're getting. Knowing what I'm knowing. While the black band's sweating. In the rhythm I'm rolling. Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Hey,
our freedom of speech is freedom of death. We got to fight the powers that be. Fight the power.
One of my dream guests right there doing the hype.
You think that's better than Leonard Cohen?
Well, for my money, yes.
Leonard Cohen's eternal.
You don't even know what's good. It's like it's all a mystery to you.
That's garbage.
That's garbage?
Garbage.
I used to have a heroin dealer.
Well, what the fuck, dude? Introduce the show.
You're so angry you introduced the show.
Hello, welcome to Dopey, the podcast about drugs, addiction, and dumb shit. I'm Chris.
Hi, Chris.
And what's your name?
My name is Dave.
All right.
Very
special episode coming up, guys.
Why?
So we got an amazing caller.
Tell me about the caller.
She's a comedian. Mm-hmm. Her name is Jessa.
Jessa Stone.
Jessa Stone.
Is that her name?
Her name is Jessa Reed. Yeah. Anyway, she's got a wild story. I listened to some things she was on Comedy Cellar that she sent us. Really, really crazy.
Great. When are we going to have her on?
I don't know. Pay attention. Stop using your laptop.
I'm really paying attention.
Okay.
Should we do a quick voicemail or should we just call her?
I got a real short, funny voicemail. You want to do that one?
I guess. I mean, yeah, sure.
I mean, it's a real, real quick one.
What's up with you, man?
What do you mean?
How's school?
I'm turning and burning, ready to go. School's good. I told you I got a talking to at school.
What happened?
So, we got to do these, I think all the... A lit review, right?
Like literature?
Yeah, and so you read basically all these articles and summarize them, and it's like pretty dry stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I forget, it was like 12 pages or something, you had to cite like 9 sources. So it's a lot of work, and like I can like crank papers if there's personal narrative, if I'm writing opinion and conjecture.
If you write about yourself.
If I write about myself or, you know.
Drugs.
Stuff.
If you write about you or drugs, you're on the money.
Basically. So I wrote like 9 pages of like personal opinions about like the treatment world. And then I like summarize articles for like 2 pages. And my professor was like, we need to meet after class. She's like, I don't know. She's like, if you don't know what a literature review is, or if you were just basically adding narrative because it's much easier to write.
I bet you for a lot of people it's not easier to write narrative. It just
no,
is for
but
you.
For me it is. I mean, I wrote a 8-page paper last night in maybe an hour and a half.
Can I just tell you that it surprises me that you have opinions at all about anything?
I fucking spent a decade of my life shuffling around treatment centers, which falls under the umbrella of psychology and psychiatry, and that's what I'm in school for.
I know, but
so obviously I have some fucking stuff to talk about.
You have the least amount of opinions out of anybody I've ever met.
What do you mean? The last episode, I was just offering all my opinions on the treatment world and prescribing practices.
No, you didn't.
Didn't I say treatment centers that cater to higher SES?
That wasn't an opinion. That was fact. You were telling me what treatment centers do.
And then I offered my opinion. And I said, I think the correlation was because people who have a lot of money are used to getting what they want.
So that is not an opinion. You're talking about a correlation.
Anything that comes after "I think" is usually not opinion.
What's your opinion about the last Star Wars movie?
It was all right.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have an opinion. What's your opinion about?
It was all right.
About the tacos downstairs.
Tacos Benedito was great.
Here's some opinions.
Amazing.
Okay, what is
my opinion about your sobriety? Fragile.
Fragile? Yeah, fragile. That's not an accurate opinion. You think my sobriety's fragile?
I do.
Why? Because of the NyQuil?
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
Fucking bedwetter.
Listen, that's not nice. That's neither kind nor accurate. Now, I never should have told you that story.
Yeah.
Now, that never happened to you?
Pissed the bed since I was a child? No.
Even drunk?
Mm-mm. I had a woman piss the bed with me. I didn't even care. She was so upset. She bought me a bottle of vodka and bought me new sheets and made my bed. And I literally was like, whatever.
What's the most embarrassing thing you've ever done?
I woke up and I was wet and she was pissing the bed. This was in college. It was a long, college first time around. And so I wake up and she's pissing the bed. And I thought it was funny. I was like laughing. I didn't care. It was warm. It felt kind of nice. And so then I wake up and I'm like, Allie, you're pissing the bed. And she's like all fucking shit-faced. And she gets out of bed. And she goes over, you know those little white mini fridges, the cubes?
Uh-huh.
She opens the door to the mini fridge and then squats down and tries to start peeing inside the mini fridge.
I wonder what that's about.
It's like kind of porcelain-y looking, I guess. I can see how they're commissioned.
There's got to be another correlation. I've never pissed the bed since I was a kid until the other day.
It's hilarious.
It's not.
Dude, it's fucking great. Imagine if it's a regular thing now. You know, it's probably like rolling your ankle. You know, once you do it once,
it's retarded.
More likely to happen again.
I don't think it's going to happen again. But the most amazing thing about that experience was okay, in the dream I start pissing.
Yeah.
Then I wake up.
Yeah.
And I'm pissing.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm pissing the bed. And I jump up and I stop pissing.
Did you stop pissing before you jumped up?
Yeah. And then I ran to the bathroom and I start pissing a ton.
Yeah.
But it was amazing that I could stop so completely midstream.
You want to hear something pretty cool?
No. Why don't you comment on my story?
I'm commenting on
What's your opinion?
My opinion is that you're just a child. You're a man-child.
Continue.
Native Americans, when they were going to do battle with other tribes, they would chug tons of water before they went to bed. All of them.
Why?
So they'd have to wake up and piss a lot.
I think that's what happened to me. But I don't think it was water. I think it was cereal and milk.
Yeah, are you getting why they did it, though? So they would be like, people would be like alert and stuff. And like they wouldn't like, they would know if people were coming.
I'm sure they piss a lot of their fucking bison furs, you know?
What?
I'm sure they slept on bison fur, and I'm sure that when they drink a lot of water...
they piss their bison ragged.
Yes. I don't think you have a lot of opinions, and I don't appreciate this.
This is a great fucking segue into the caller.
Oh, yeah.
This caller drank piss. Intentionally. Ready?
I didn't do any homework on this woman. Did you?
I listened to her 15...
Did you know anything? We don't know anything about her.
Yeah, she's... we'll have her tell it.
No, but I...
No, nope. It's Colin. Her. It's Colin.
All right.
What is it, Jessa?
Hello.
Hey, Jessa, what's up?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Does it sound okay?
It sounds great. Crystal clear. So I'm Chris, and I'm sitting here with Dave.
Hi, Chris and Dave.
Hey, Jessa, how you doing?
Good.
Dave's hunched over his laptop, Googling your name, trying to find something to say to look like he knows.
Tell us about yourself, please.
I've been doing stand-up. Well, I started doing stand-up in the late 90s.
Okay.
And I was 21 years old. I was out on the road, was getting drunk every night, and kept getting, like, sobriety checks in the morning. Still being drunk from the night before.
What do you mean sobriety checks in the morning?
Like, I kept getting pulled over by cops for swerving because I was still hammered from the night before.
Oh, holy shit. Okay, yeah.
And, or like severely hungover. And these were like a string of one-nighters. And I, someone had said, like, if you just do like a little bump of coke before you go to bed, you won't have a hangover. And by 21, I'd already finished my coke phase. So I was like, okay, I have control over this. And so I was in Butte, Montana, and asked them for a line of white after the show. And then I became a meth addict.
Yeah.
Jessa, are you clean?
Yes.
Have you ever pissed the bed in sobriety?
No. I mean, I've had a lot of kids. And I'm 41, so I mean, like, not probably by your definition.
I have a daughter, and I have another one coming, and I pissed the bed this week in sobriety.
Yeah.
And I'm very embarrassed.
He's blaming it on the NyQuil.
NyQuil, I got sick, and I drank NyQuil and took a Benadryl, and I pissed the bed. Yeah. And I'm very embarrassed, and I was hoping that maybe something like that had happened to you also. But no.
Oh, yeah, no.
No.
Are you, like, more embarrassed now that you didn't get any kind of, like, confirmation or...
Yeah, this is going badly for me. And Chris is looking at me with this...
I think you're not supposed to take Benadryl and NyQuil together.
Because there's Benadryl in NyQuil, so he's just double-dosing the Benadryl.
Yeah, so it could have been that you were double-fisted.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get back to
Dave brings this up because he was saying this story real quickly before we called you, and I was like, it's a great segue into how I started talking to you, because you have electively drank piss. And I want you to tell the story, but I just want to add that I actually spent a lot of time researching it because I feel like I've heard just about everything and I'd never heard that. And it is an actual thing that people do.
It is a thing. I do want to point out that back when I did it, it was not, I could find one article that led me to believe that someone else had figured it out by that point, because this would have been like 2004.
You were the pioneer in meth
piss drinking.
I just wanted everyone to know that I did not get that idea from anyone else. That was my own.
Well,
I figured that out.
Tell us everything.
We will give you credit.
They did. I'm getting a lot of credit for it now.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of the story I'm not supposed to record it again, but the gist is, about 5 years into my meth addiction, I read an article that said, it was like Life or Time magazine or something, and they were talking about the reason that the meth epidemic was a big deal at the time, and the reason that it was so much more addictive than coke was because it lasts longer than coke. And the science that they explained that with was that your body breaks coke down, you metabolize it real fast, and that's why you jones and you're only high for a few minutes. And with meth, it goes unchanged through your body, which I heard as I'm peeing out a bunch of meth.
Where did you hear it?
A fair assumption.
But where did you hear it?
The connection.
This was in like an article in like Time magazine or something.
So you read the article and you're smoking meth, or you're shooting meth?
I mean, at this point, I was shooting meth in my neck.
Okay.
There you go. Someone else is doing it for me. Yeah. And so I originally, and this gets cut out of the Comedy Central story, but I originally started the world's grossest meth lab trying to figure out how to turn piss back into meth.
Oh, that's amazing.
Right, but like I dropped out of ninth grade, so I'm just like, I tried doing all the things. I tried like titrating it or like putting it in the pressure cooker or doing things that you do with like ephedrine or whatever in the creation of actual meth.
I would have, like, my natural assumption would have been that you could just boil it and maybe all the water goes away and you're just left with some meth crystals.
Desalinization.
I did boil it. I boiled it. I put acetone in it. I put ammonia in it, which just made, like, grosser piss. I put bleach in it, which exploded.
Oh my!
And this is amazing.
This is your piss or a bunch of tweakers' piss?
At this point, I only drank my own piss because I'm not disgusting. But I was collecting buckets of like universal tweaker piss for this, and I was living in an RV, which is so cliche. Is where I was doing all of.
Where? So wait, hold on. So you say to these tweakers, you're like, hey, let me get your piss. I think I can get meth from it. And they're just like, sure. Or they're like, I want to cut. Or like, you know, what was their reaction?
I never stopped talking about, from the second I decided that, from the second I had the hypothesis all the way through drinking the piss, I tried to convert everyone. I tried to get other people on board. I tried to get this thing bankrolled. I tried to get, you know, I was like, we will be rich. Do you understand that we can just do meth, take our piss, turn it back into meth, and sell it back to people? Why are you guys wasting time stealing identities? I have found the future. Yeah. And nobody listened to me. By this point, I'm years into talking to aliens and shit, so my credibility wasn't the best.
Jessa, this is the best story I've ever heard in my life. I swear to God. It's like I can see it because it's also like all you have to do is you have to get the meth.
Yeah, and then it's like one bag of meth lasts forever.
It lasts forever.
Forever.
And where were the RVs parked?
Is this in Butte? This is in Butte, Montana.
No, so that was at a gig. I was at a gig in Butte, Montana.
Okay.
And I do the line of white, which does not mean coke in Montana. And then because my mom was a tweaker when I was a kid. I swore I would never touch that shit. So by the time I get back to Portland, Oregon, I'm a tweaker. I'm just a full-blown tweaker. It's like 18 hours later, I'm like, I found the secret to happiness, and it's crank. Who knew? And that was it. Well, I already, like, hung out in, like, the after-hours, like, speakeasy scene or whatever from comedy. And so I knew where to find more meth, and I quit comedy and just did meth. And so it was towards the end of my addiction that I... The piss wasn't far from the bottom, if you know what I mean.
Wait, so hold on. First of all, just a disclaimer to the Dopey Nation, you know, don't try this at home. But yeah, did you actually get high when you drank the meth piss?
Okay. I got so high. It's not like a meth high, though. It's like a psychedelic high.
Oh, God.
I'm also being poisoned by my own waste product, you know. I don't know what that was, but I got so high that I had like a transcendental experience, and for the remainder of my addiction, I was mostly just addicted to my meth piss. Like, oh, I didn't even care. I stopped shooting up. I didn't even care about doing meth anymore. It was just...
You just needed to do meth to be able to pee it out and do it.
Yeah.
Jessa, hey, this is the most remarkable thing. I'm just blown away, and you have to tell people not to do this. Yeah.
Okay? I do like a lot of recovery convention shows and stuff, and I just know that it's so ironic that I couldn't talk anyone into doing it back then, but I've definitely, someone has tried this because of me, especially now that it's on the internet.
I have to say that you might actually be our dream guest, and we had no idea. Where have you been in the last 2 years? I mean, our show is about drugs, addiction, and dumb shit, and I don't know how anything could fit the bill more than this story.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
I have a question, though. Tell us about what the psychedelic experience of drinking the meth urine was like.
Before she gets in that, I will say there's this guy. Have you heard of Ram Dass? He wrote a book called Be Here Now.
Yeah.
He always firmly maintained that methamphetamine, while it's a stimulant, it actually, he called it a crude psychedelic, and that for certain people, they could actually use methamphetamine as a psychedelic.
People like you?
Not me. It never worked out. I just ended up compulsively masturbating for 7 hours at a time. But
I, you know what, my experience with it was very different than everyone else. I lost all my teeth by the time I was 23, and I like lost my family and everything else. Like that stuff was all similar, but I was having very much a kind of an unmanageable psychedelic, a 5-year long unmanageable psychedelic experience the entire time when I was on that.
Holy shit. Now, did it stop when you stopped using, or was it mental illness?
I have a podcast that I get into a little bit of, was this a spiritual experience, or was this meth-induced schizophrenia, and yeah. I'm not really sure.
Well, it's there's the amphetamine-induced psychotic disorder, which is actually like a DSM, it's a diagnosis, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Maybe you had a 5-year psychotic disorder.
Yeah. I do know a couple people who got that and never came back, you know? Yeah.
Sure.
It sounds like, from what you said earlier, that you did that, you know, that bit about this on Comedy Cellar. So it sounds like you can't go too much into it. Are you able to tell the end with the toothbrush thing or no?
I think I'm not allowed to tell the story for 6 months.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm not allowed to have it recorded,
But basically... the meth piss facilitated her bottom, wherein she stopped. So maybe it's good for the Dopey Nation to hear this, so then they drink meth piss and then they stop.
Yeah. I think I just got to the point where I was, when someone held a mirror up to me, I was like, yeah, I guess I can see how this is weird.
What was the psychedelic experience like, though?
I was already kind of having had a near-death experience like a year in, and then was really kind of on this like weird alien trip. And I had been hearing a lot of voices, I guess, or like kind of going to this place in my dreams and stuff. And when the first time I drank meth piss, I describe it as the place in the Matrix where they plug their heads in.
Yeah, getting plugged in, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, I believed it to be at the time, like our higher selves.
Right.
And, you know, it was me and it was other people that I knew. And I just, like, I left Earth. And then when I came back, I just kind of was chasing that experience, trying to get back to that specific place. And I never did again. I got high still from drinking my piss, but I was like chasing a different kind of dragon.
Was there a whole crew of you guys that drank piss together?
No, and here's the thing, is that I was a little bit of a leader, you know, at least that's the way I remember it, because when I first started shooting up, you know, there's this thing, there are levels to it, you know, so there's the people that snort it and then smoke it and then shoot it up. And when you're the smoker, you judge the people that shoot it up. And then once you shoot up, you realize that you were wasting a lot of time and money by smoking it. Anyway, I didn't want anyone to know that's what I was doing. And someone came over to see me, and there was like an orange cap on a table. Mm-hmm. And just on the fly, I was like, oh, I've been keistering meth.
Yeah.
And told them that that's what the syringe was for. And everyone started keistering meth. And so this is just a big group of people that all put meth in their butts from years after that. And so I was really honestly surprised that
the meth piss didn't catch on.
Well, she didn't tell them. Well, why didn't you want to tell them what you were doing? Because you were embarrassed?
She told them.
Oh.
No, I wasn't embarrassed for them to know I drank my piss. I was embarrassed about them knowing that I was shooting up when I first started shooting up.
I got you.
Yeah.
That's so funny. So you just told them you were keistering it, so they just did what you said to do.
Yeah, I mean, I went to a whole tutorial that just came up on the fly, you know. I was like, oh, the syringes, I popped the top off and I put it in my butt. And they're like, oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. Turkey basting.
Yeah. So, I mean, I also didn't invent that, but in our little group of people, I pioneered.
And had you started doing comedy before you started with meth, or was it all at the same time?
I had been doing stand-up for about a year on the road. And then I got addicted to meth, and then I took 6 years off to just do meth. And then I wasn't going to do comedy after that because I thought I couldn't do it sober because I had never gotten on stage without, you know, a couple drinks.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I got booked on a recovery convention, and then I just did recovery comedy for years after that.
Oh, right. Nice. On.
Why don't you give us some recovery shtick?
Wait, hold on. She has a story. She has another story. Oh, that tell she us, can yeah. Tell us about the owl.
But before, wait, hold on. Before you tell us about the owl, where did we see her meth story on?
Oh, so she, I guess you did something on Comedy Cellar, and then somebody emailed
you? It wasn't
you?
Comedy Cellar. It was
Comedy
Central.
I'm sorry. And somebody.
It's a Comedy Central storytelling show called This Is Not Happening.
And so you told that story on This Is Not Happening, and then they told you can't retell the story for 6 months?
Yeah, it just dropped on March 19th. It's a TV show, so whenever you do something, sometimes you sign over your whole rights to the material forever.
Right.
They don't have that. It's just for 6 months after they put it out, that has to be the only place that that story is available.
And just out of my own, you know, self-seeking curiosity, how quickly after the thing came out, right? How quickly after the thing came out did people say you should tell Dopey the story?
My mailbox was getting filled up with lots of places that people thought I should be.
Yeah.
And fans of my podcast have messaged and asked if we've ever done anything, and so quick.
Awesome.
Probably within a week.
You want to plug your podcast?
Yeah, what's your podcast called, Jess?
My podcast is called Mormon and the Meth Head.
Oh, shit. I saw that. I looked that up. Because when you search for meth, that's the first thing that shows up. And then we show up. And my girlfriend is an ex-Mormon. She was a Mormon for a long time. And I was like, I should have her listen to that. So I've seen it. It's a picture of you and the Mormon guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to check it out. You guys just started recently, but it looks like it's picking up steam fast.
Yeah, it's a little baby podcast. It's a comedian that I met at a comedy festival in 2014, and then we reconnected this year, and he had left Mormonism in the meantime, and we're comparing notes, and there's a lot of similarities between leaving Mormonism and quitting meth.
Well, if you tell your buddy if he wants, we had my girlfriend on, and she talked about leaving the church, and Dave endlessly berated her. But yeah, Dopey Nation, check out her podcast. I'm going to check it out, too. I saw you guys have 30 episodes or so, right?
No, we only have 11.
Oh, shit. Right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, check it out still.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Tell us the owl story.
Tell us about the owl.
All right, the owl story. So, when I got sober and I don't remember. I know I did a lot of crazy things, but I don't remember a lot of them. And so every once in a while, someone from back in the day will show up and say something on Facebook, and I'm like, oh my god, how did I forget that? The day that the This Is Not Happening story dropped, there were a lot of people in the YouTube comments that were like, there's no way this happened, this is obviously completely made up, no one is this crazy. And then over on Facebook, some dude I haven't seen in 16 years was like, hey, last time I saw you, you told me if I let you suck my dick, you would get the code to get everyone set free from the prisons in Oregon. And I was like, I feel like you're paraphrasing.
Oh my god. Wow.
But so my someone else showed up and was like, do you remember when you carried that dead owl around for 2 weeks? And somehow I forgot this story until this year.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Keep going.
So I'm driving up from, we lived in Portland, Oregon. I'm driving up the coast. We just picked up 20 pounds of weed from Mexico. And for some reason, people would take me to do crazy criminal things with them. And I was good to have a round of cops showed up because I was so confusing and weird to deal with that a lot of times you could get away with stuff, or at least I would the cops hated dealing with me. Yeah. So for that part I was cool, but otherwise I have no idea. I had no teeth and I was talking to aliens and shit. Anyway, so we stop at a rest area. It's 10 p.m. And as I'm walking out of the bathroom, there is a bedroom pillow and a dead owl laying on the bedroom pillow. And the owl was, I don't know, what would this be like, 2.5 feet tall? It was gigantic. And it was still warm.
Wait, so there's just randomly a dead owl on the pillow?
A fucking owl, just an owl on a bedroom pillow, just sitting on the sidewalk when I came out of the bathroom.
What the fuck?
So obviously it was put there for me.
Yeah, I would think the same. I mean, I've never even seen an owl ever. So, I mean, that owl was meant for you.
There was no cell phone to take a picture of it. I was like, I have to take this owl with me. Yeah. Also, at this point, I am, like, deep into many other cultures, religions and belief systems and shit, because I'm on this journey. And so I grab the owl and I walk back to the car, and my friend Tom, he's looking at me and he's squinting, you know, because I have the owl under my arm and the pillow in my hand, and his brain is just trying to, you know, he's not just like, oh, that looks like a dead owl.
So you were, so you were like, this is my spirit animal or something?
Yes, that's along. I did exactly say that. Well, now it's so cliche, basic bitch, but like I was.
So what does owl magic mean? What does it mean if you see an owl? What's the significance?
I couldn't even tell you now. I know I was really into mine more, the owl and the snake.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I think it was wisdom of the esoteric. I don't.
I'm curious. I'm confused. Where was the pillow?
She goes and goes to the bathroom. She leaves the bathroom, and there's a pillow with an owl on it. And her buddy's in the parking lot. And
pillow on the ground with a dead owl that is warm still, though.
That is a fucking sign if I've ever heard one.
Maybe the owl was bugging somebody, and they smothered it with the pillow to keep it quiet.
It was so big. Yeah. It was so big. So I go walking up to the car, and he is like, What is that? And I'm like, it's an owl. I don't know if it's dead. It's still pretty warm. Do owls, like, hibernate? We have to take it with us. And he was like, no, we're not taking a maybe not dead owl with us in the car. And it's talons or whatever. It's little bird hands were the size of my hands. It was gigantic. Its wingspan was probably the inside of the car. Oh,
were you drinking meth piss around this time or no?
I wasn't on the meth piss yet, so I was shooting up in my neck still.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right.
And so I'm like, I have to take it. Obviously, I did believe it was a sign, and it is my spirit animal, and I think I can bring it back to life. And he was like, you understand that if this owl wakes up and mauls us to our death, we're going to drive into a cliff. We have 20 pounds of weed in the back of this car. And I was like, no, I got to handle it. So I put the owl inside the pillowcase and tied it off, because that totally will keep the owl talons in. And I put it in the back seat. So then we drive back up the coast. Every time we hit a bump, he's turned around. And, you know, he's scared. We pull up to a weed dealer's house who we're dropping half of the shit off to. And this was a dynamic we ran into a lot, where, like, people who just wanted to smoke weed and sell weed had to deal with actual legit drug addicts, like full-time criminals, because that's where you get the hookup, you know?
Yeah.
And so this guy hated tweakers. You could tell he hated tweakers. He's, like, probably, like, 42. He lives in a nice house. He's got a man cave in his garage. And he's just a dork, right? Yeah. Just a dork. And here come the tweakers at 1 o'clock in the morning. And we're sitting on couches, and he's sitting in the middle of the room between Tom and I. And I smoke a little meth, and then I'm like, oh, I got to go get the owl. And I have no teeth. I'm gross. I don't even – he probably doesn't even want me in his garage. I'm like, I got to go get the owl. And Tom is like, do not go get the owl. And then this guy – and then we're arguing about it, right? And I'm like, how am I ever going to bring it back to life if I don't give it any meth? Because that – okay, so here's – I thought that if I gave it meth, I would bring it back to life, because I, at the time, believed meth to be alien magic.
Oh, my God.
It was just a substance that the aliens put on the planet to wake people up, and that if you used it in the correct application, you could do anything with it.
Did you actually try to give the dead owl meth?
I didn't try to give the dead owl meth, because that would be crazy, but I did. Okay, so I grabbed the I go get the owl. The guy is like, is she talking about an actual owl? I go outside. I come back. I've got a pillowcase with an owl talon coming out of it. And I unwrap it, I put the owl down on the couch. I take a giant hit of meth.
And she then shotguns it to the owl.
I CPR it into the owl's mouth.
No way.
I was sure you were going to piss in the owl's mouth. I was sure that was what was coming.
I wasn't there yet. But you know this guy is still telling this story. Like, there's 0% chance that this guy doesn't tell the story every chance he gets. He just smoked some weed. He's having a weird night because now there is a tweaker. So then I'm, like, trying to find – I'm, like – digging my fingers under the feathers, trying to find where to do chest compressions, and I'm just blowing multiple hits of meth smoke into this owl, and it's coming out its eyes and shit.
Oh my god.
And the owl wakes up and starts flying around.
Yeah. It doesn't wake up, but it really, like, every time the smoke would come out of his eyes, I would, like, back up, because I was like, this is it, this is the time.
Oh my
god. Long story short, that was an awkward... And I weekend with Bernie's this owl for, like, 2 weeks. And it never got old or gross. I think I just, like, embalmed it in meth smoke. And I left it alone with Tom one day to... just, like, watch the owl. I'll be back. And I didn't put this together then. I put it together recently, the first time I told the story after a long time. But when I got back, he was like, hey, I actually ran into it... I actually ran into an owl shaman, and I traded your owl for some, here's some owl magic incense, and now I realize he, like, Jack and the Beanstalks me, and he chucked the owl in a dumpster because he was sick of watching me waste meth on it, but...
Wait, what did he give you for owl magic incense?
Yeah.
Oh, so he gave you some...
I got some incense at the fucking gas station.
Some non-chapa or whatever.
Some sopium. Yeah. Sopium incense.
I never questioned where he ran into an owl shaman. Yeah, so...
That's
I got Jack for my dead owl, basically.
Jessa, where's Tom now? What's Tom up to?
He's doing great. I changed his name, which I'm not usually very good at, but Tom's doing good. I haven't had a chance to confront him now that I realize that he lied to me about the owl, but...
That's hilarious.
You have to confront him. I want to hear that conversation.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I know. Once I realized it, he was off Facebook, so I got to go find him in person next time I'm in Portland.
Jessa, how'd you get clean?
I give, like, a short... not completely correct version on the Comedy Central thing because I had to tighten that story up. It was 25 minutes, but I had decided to move to the East Coast. I tried to steal someone's identity to get dentures, and my parents intervened, and they were like, "We will pay for the dentures. Please don't go to prison." And I had kind of like a deal with my dad that if I went, like, they got half of them. The bottom half or the top half, and then I go out and visit because I hadn't seen my family in 5 years. They thought I was dead.
Yeah.
And then anyway, so I went out for that visit and kind of just realized he was in recovery. He had like 7 years at the time, and when I was leaving that visit, he said, "If you get home and things are kind of stale, you have a place here." And if he had said any other word, I don't think it would have planted a seed because I just lived in such like. I'd already seen some shit and, like, lived so depraved, and I'd already been homeless, and I'd already done horrible things that I just didn't. If he would have said, like, if you go home in desperation or any of those words, it wouldn't have registered.
Yeah.
But I got back, and, like, my boyfriend was fucking some other chick, and they stole my stuff, and I got kicked out of my house, you know, and I was like, this is stale. Like, yeah. I've done all of this.
Yeah.
And I decided to go back out there.
Yeah.
But I was, like, still gonna do meth.
Yeah.
And I was on the airplane, and I was just thinking, like, man, you're going to send money out there for meth, and you're going to get ripped off, and it's just never, it's always going to be exactly the same. And then I was just like, man, I'll just quit. And that was it.
And that was it. Wow. I yeah. love that, the just the language, the word stale, that like... I love that, yeah. So you quit
because desperation doesn't do it.
Well, desperation is just so watered down if you've been exposed to the rooms and stuff like that. So it's just like an authentic. I could see.
Not to mention, Jess is traveling around with no teeth, yeah. A fucking dead owl. Yeah. She's trying to reincarnate. I don't think there's any kind of desperation beyond that.
You never fucking know. I knew a guy that literally the reason he got sober. Was because somebody remembered his name. He went to an AA meeting. Somebody was at the door. He went one meeting and then he left. And then he came back the next day and he was walking by and the door greeter was standing there and he was, everyone's all loud and he's like, fuck it, I'm just going to go back and do drugs. And the door greeter was like, hey, Will. And he was so fucking destitute and like so depressed and had such low self-esteem. Just the fact that that guy remembered his name, he said it made him want to cry. And then he went into the meeting and never drank or did drugs again. But you never know. Just like it, I love hearing that where like a specific word or a specific thing was a turning point, you know?
Wow, yeah. I just had never, I was always doing what I wanted to be doing. I didn't turn to drugs. I felt like I was looking for, I was disillusioned with life. I was like, there has to be more than this. And in drugs, in these specific drugs, I felt like I had found the more than this. And I was okay with everything that came with it. And I never felt like I was doing drugs against my will. And I never, when other people would like get super high and then go to detox, I would be like, you're wasting the drugs. I think you should quit. I never wanted to stop. So if had he used any of that language with me when I felt like I was very much doing, living a life that I was okay with because it was exciting or whatever, and then he pointed out that it's not as exciting and it is as repetitive as I perceived everyday life to be, just in a different way, and it was just that slight shift in perspective that I was like, oh, this is lame. This totally. Is the exact, I'm not getting up and going to work every single day, but I am living in a Groundhog Day of a different sort. And totally. Yeah, it just kind of facilitated that. Yeah, I don't need to do this anymore.
Did you, now to maintain your sobriety, did you have to do any sort of, I mean, were you a 12-step person? Did you do therapy? Did you just try to live right, exercise? Was there anything you sort of did that helped you with the process?
When I moved back, I moved to Delaware to be with family. I had crippling social anxiety from getting clean. And I had lived so far out of society, I didn't feel comfortable with normal people. I got involved with NA.
Yeah.
And because it was, I felt so comfortable with that community.
Right.
And the steps really resonated with me as far as just kind of a way to close this chapter of my life.
Yeah.
And I stayed super involved in the program for years.
Hmm.
And then I do a recovery show still. I don't go to meetings or anything. I still live by the principles, I guess. I'm fortunate to have never had the desire again.
Yeah, right on, right on.
So I got really lucky there.
And you had your children after you got clean or beforehand?
My oldest I had when I was 17, so she was about 4 or 5 when I started using. And because my mom was an addict when I was a kid, I thought I was doing best by her by leaving her with other family.
Right.
And I got her back when she was 14.
Awesome.
I got clean when she was like 10. I had to work for a while to get her back. And then I had my husband I met on the streets. We just recently separated, but we were together for 13 years, and then we had two small.
Cool.
We got an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Right on.
And now where do you live?
I just moved to LA in January.
And you're doing comedy and raising your children and stuff?
Yep.
Cool. And you don't go to meetings or anything?
Uh-uh. I mean, I do it once in a while, especially if, like, I know someone that wants to get sober or whatever. I'll get into going with them for a while. I just don't.
She practices those principles. She practices the principles in all of her affairs, Dave.
I'm sure not all of her affairs. I'm sure now and again she does. Yeah. Jess, I think that's awesome, and I think you are, like, you're probably one of the best guests we ever had. You're the most perfect guest I've ever heard.
Yeah, if you have any words of wisdom for the Dopey Nation, or you got anything, you know, other than your podcast that you want to plug and have them check out, now's the time.
No, just the podcast is the big thing right now. We talk about the shows that we're doing and stuff from there.
Right on.
Cool. Mormon and the Meth Head?
Yeah.
Right. And and you should definitely come on again with another story.
Yeah.
Your stories are great. Loved it. So good.
I have a million.
I'm sure. Yeah. I have no retention of anything
you
I did.
You forget. You can't even remember what you had for breakfast.
Yeah, I can't remember anything. So the fact that, I mean, I can imagine, like,
well, when the owl story was resurfaced.
I know, you forget about the fact that you toted it around. How long do you think you toted the dead owl around for?
It was almost 2 weeks.
Yeah. Did it stink? It probably stunk.
It was preserved.
It was perfectly, and it never stopped being warm. It was really weird. So I have an idea for if I ever get famous, like real famous, just having, I've always said, because there's about 50 to 100 of us over the course of 6 years that all just kind of milled around in this community, where it would just be funny to do a big round table where I reconnect with all these people and they just tell me stories of things that I did. Because as soon as they say it, I'm like, oh, how did I forget that?
Yeah. That would be a great remember when session.
Yeah,
it would be like the world's most uncomfortable roast for me. But, because even the things, like, I vaguely remember the prison code. I can't imagine that I was, like, begging to suck his dick, but I might have. I mean, at the time, if I believed that that was how I was going to get the prison codes, I would connect some dots that maybe weren't there. But,
yeah.
Right on, Jessa. We really appreciate you coming on. But hold on. Before she gets off, what? I didn't understand that, the suck the dick for the prison codes. What was that? Explain that to me.
She was psychotic. That's all you need to know.
But what was it? The guy said what exactly?
He said, hey, I don't know if you remember me, but last time I saw you, you told me that if I let you suck my dick, you would get the codes to let everyone out of prisons. And I do remember I had this kind of weird Pied Piper narrative going in my head where, not Pied Piper, who stole from the rich.
Robin Hood.
So I was here to lead all of the felons to some heightened state of enlightenment, and I do think I connected that to sucking dicks at some point, but I think maybe he heard me wrong. It sounds like the wires got crossed slightly, but I did at one point believe that I would be magic enough to set everyone free from prison, which in hindsight doesn't sound like a great
way
to use magic.
No, probably not.
It's funny, actually. We have right now a former guest from Dopey who is he's in and out of manic states and stuff like that. And this is literally like a week ago. He was the police were called. He was naked outside of his apartment, and the police were taking him. The police called an ambulance, and they started taking him to the psych ward. And while he was in the ambulance, and this man is straight, he started receiving code that told him if he seduced the paramedics, which were guys, that it would undo what was happening. So he started hitting on all the paramedics to try to get out of there. So maybe it's like some sort of common sort of
psychosis.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Some seductive psychosis.
Yeah. Or it's common magic. I don't know. We don't have to label it right now. We don't have to know for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much, Jess. This was awesome.
Thank you. This is a blast.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Wow.
What a guest, huh?
Amazing. I'm just very stupid here.
Yeah.
Was the guy just trying to scam a blowjob?
No, I think she really did. I think she, I mean, maybe, like she said, the wires were crossed, so there was a misinterpreted or something. But, I mean, we had the story of the gay people, remember? And the guy shot meth, and his boyfriend was there, and he was going to jump off the balcony, and he said he was going to kill himself unless his boyfriend let him suck his dick. Don't you remember that?
Yeah.
Old school. It was old school Dopey, like in the early episodes.
Yes, that does sound familiar.
Yeah.
Well, that the whole thing with the warm owl and the meth is great. I mean, this is really the point of Dopey right here.
Yeah.
This is it. And we don't get
and
enough.
She's fucking sober. You know, she's clean.
Oh, we didn't ask her how long she's clean.
So she got a while. I think she said it in her Comedy Central thing. I want to say like 10 years or something like that.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing story.
Yeah.
Where are we at?
We're at 46.
All right.
We got guests calling in, but we should close this out, right?
Gotta close it out.
Should I play another little voice memo?
Here, I got one right here.
You got one to go?
Yeah.
Rip roaring and ready to ride?
Yeah, whatever you say, man.
Yeah.
All right, Playboys. It's Corey Rose. Scratch that. Well, hey, fuck it. I don't care. Corey from Mount Vernon, Washington, Pacific Northwest. We got drugs out here, too, out by Seattle. Heroin is an epidemic, but I'm gonna hit you guys with some Dopey real quick. All right, how about tell you about the first time, not the first time I shot meth, but, you know, I fucking hated tweakers, man. I always hated tweakers for the first 8 out of the 10 years I was using dope. Tell you what, man, when heroin came back in my life for the second time, you know, second hard time shooting again, she brought a little friend named Meth, and Meth's little friend named Scratch Tickets, and that will fuck your life up real quick. The progression of the disease, accelerated. It was very progressive with that shit. But anyways, I always hated fucking meth, right? And so, you know, I'm all fucking shooting dope. I'm trying to go to work, working at a shipyard, long ass hours. And so what do? You know, I start doing meth, you know, keep me up a little bit, start doing goofballs, you know what I'm saying? And so I would always do very measured shots, you know, little bits of meth, just a little bit. I was scared of it, you know, I just didn't want to fucking, you know, lose my mind and stuff, have a psychosis and shit. And so, you know, this is near this is about a year ago, near the end of my using days. I only got like 100 days or something, but anyways, I'm hanging out at my house, getting evicted. Finally got my ex-girlfriend to get the fuck out of there after she sold all my shit, and so I'm with Booster Mike, all right? I call him Booster Mike because he boosts shit, right? That's what fucking wannabe gangsters call that shit out here. So it's a funny story. My roommate now, Mike Rogers, who I never liked in my using days. He's coming at me with a bat last time I saw him. But he's my roommate now. He's in drug court, and he's like my best friend. He was in jail with Booster Mike, and Booster was his sponsor. So had some shits and giggles when I found that out. But anyways, okay, Booster Mike, he's a great guy. He steals the shit all the time. Anyways, he cooks up the heroin and puts in the meth and everything, you know, and I trust him. I look at it, you know, it was like 40 cc's, real dark. I'm like, all right, cool. Thanks, Booster. So I put it in my arm and shoot up and bing, my fucking, he said my eyes just went, whoosh. I don't know how much meth this cocksucker put in there because he was fine. He was just like, oh, everyday thing. I don't know how much, but it was way too much, way more than I had ever done. So instantly hits me and I just start, you know, must be paranoia or what. I don't know what's going on. I think the DEA is after me or whatever. See all these Subarus, or not Subarus, Suburbans, black Suburbans drive around, and I just instantly, I'm like, get down on the ground, motherfucker, and we get down on the ground, and I make him army crawl. I'm like, you go in front of me. I make him army crawl through my kitchen, through the dining room, into my room, and I'm like, all right, hold on, and I fucking kick out my window, and I make him jump out my window. I'm like, go meet me at the movie theater, Booster, and he jumps out, runs over to the movie theater. He's like, what the fuck, and he's scared. I'm fucking scared. And I just vaguely remember him waving as I'm running, sprinting past him. He's at the movie theater like a block away. And I'm just fucking boom. I'm gone like the wind. And I literally just run fucking for like 3 hours. I remember stopping by a couple coffee shops. Like, hey, can I get some water, please? Blah, blah, blah. Get some water. I'm just out here for a jog. And I think the cops are chasing me. I think somebody's chasing me. The feds are coming after me, task force, something. And I'm just keep running, and then I slow down, and I'm like, okay, nobody. And then I see a car, and I'm just like, oh, God, it's coming. And I just keep running. I end up actually hiding behind this hotel, and I go in this, like, fucking trailer shed thing, bunch of tools and stuff in it, and I'm, like, up above them and, like, hidden in this corner. And then these four Mexican cats are working. They come inside, and I'm like, oh, shit. And so I run out, and then they start chasing me, like, hey, where are you going? And I'm like, oh, dude, I was like, oh, my brother, I'm hiding from somebody, a big, big buff bald guy. And they're like, why? And I'm like, oh, I fucked his sister, and I gotta go. They're like, no, why don't you come back here, man? And they're on the phone. I'm like, oh, fuck, they're calling the cops. So then, boom, I'm off for like another hour just running. And finally, somehow I got the police scanner on my fucking phone, and I'm listening to that, running around town still, just fucking diving, ducking, dipping, dodging, all that good shit. And I end up going into the Jack in the Box, locking the door in the bathroom and holding myself up in there. And I call my friend Elise, and she comes and picks me up. And I get in the car, and she got her kids in the back. And I'm just like all flailed out, like, oh, shit, no, there's a cop, blah, 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 blah. And she brings me back to her apartment, take a shower, calm the fuck down. And I think she gave me some benzos. I think that's what happened. So I calmed down a little bit. But fuck, man, I ended up fucking up my knee really bad. I ended up tearing my meniscus while I'm running like an idiot, just fucking, and nobody's chasing me for 3 hours. And, you know, the next 3 days was kind of a blur. I remember being at the casino, winning $400 and then losing $400 like an hour later, and you know, thinking the SWIN, the tribal police are after me, hiding in some woods for a while, and then finally getting home and doing a shot of dope and passing out, and then you know, I said I'd never shoot meth again, but well, you know, we always say we won't do this, and then you know, next thing we know, we're doing it. Never quite had a psychosis like that one. Not a lot of people come back from that, I feel like, so I'm pretty lucky. I probably sound pretty animated right now. I'm getting all sweaty just talking about it, man. I'm losing my breath. Wow. Need to calm the fuck down. But anyways, that was my experience shooting meth, like the first decent amount. But anyways, have a good one, guys. Toodles.
All right. Wow. What are you trying to tell me?
I'm trying to get the ad ready.
Oh, yeah. You do the ad.
No, we'll do it in a second. I want to comment on this thing you just played. Yeah, first comments. Of all, multiple meth shooting tweakers, and in the neck too, I might add. You have to explain to me what that was about. He's running. you got nothing? You can't explain that to me?
No.
he was running. There's three from this guy?
Yeah.
Is that the first one or the last one?
That's the first one.
That's the first one. Okay.
They get better and worse.
What do you mean by worse?
Well, in the last, it's a serial from Corey.
Yeah, we'll get people ready.
Corey has a kid, and Corey managed to get a bunch of time together, but Corey wound up relapsing recently.
Like he had 100 days when he did that one.
Yeah, he got to 150 days or so.
Yeah.
And then he relapsed. And
then he recorded something for us?
Yeah.
While he was high?
The next day.
Oh, okay, so after he was high.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that was a story of he thought he was speedballing with meth and dope.
Goofballing?
Yeah, I don't
know.
Have
you ever done a goofball?
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Yeah, that
mixed
was my thing.
Meth and dope together?
Yeah, I just called it speedballing.
You didn't separate them?
No. In fact, I was living with Todd.
What is it like? Because it's like when you speedball, you get the coke and you don't really feel the dope as much, and then you feel the dope. Goofball, it's like two things at once.
Well,
the whole time. I would assume. I don't know.
My whole thing with it was, because when I was living with Todd, he was on meth. You know, Todd was on meth big time.
Yeah.
And I like to shoot dope. Yeah. And I figured this would be my opportunity to shoot meth.
Yeah.
So first I shot meth and I went insane.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't really like that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, but maybe this could be like a poor man's speedball. I didn't know about the phrase goofballing.
Yeah.
So I would buy. I had a lot of money at the time,
yeah.
And I would buy tons of dope.
Yeah.
So what I would do is I would put my thing would be a 1-to-3 meth to dope ratio.
Yeah.
So I'd put a little bit of meth in, and
see,
then
I would have been 3-to-1.
Well, so then I put in the three, the dope, and then I would shoot it, and the meth would have me crazy, and then I'd be like, "Fuck it," and I'd put the rest of the dope in the spoon, and I'd bury it.
I gotta undo this.
Yeah. Every time I was like. It was every time I did meth, it was just an excuse to do more pills and dope. Like the meth just did not sit well with me. And I remember we lived in North Hollywood in this big, really nice house.
Yeah.
Todd had this pit bull that would just tear up the yard. We didn't plant anything. And I got so broke that I decided I didn't want to pay rent anymore, so they let me move into the garage.
Yeah.
And I lived in that garage. It was like 110 degrees.
Yeah.
And I just shot meth and heroin in their garage, sweating. And then when I was like, when I couldn't sleep, I would just like shoot paquetes, you know, those like a big balloon full of 20 balloons. Yeah. I'd just shoot the whole thing to sleep, and I would sleep 10 hours.
Wait, now, when you shot meth, was that better than shooting coke? Or is it similar to you on how neurotic you would get?
It was worse. It was
really?
Terrible.
Yeah, because I would shoot coke and it was crippling paranoia, and that was my main thing. But I'd shoot meth and it was paranoid, but it wasn't as like uncomfortable.
It was
paranoia with like legs, and it was more like, I don't know, manageable. It wasn't as like, I didn't feel like I was going to die and the cops were going to get me right away. I felt like I needed to evade the cops.
I never had paranoia like you did, but I also wouldn't sit with the feeling long enough to really explore it or understand it.
You would just try to get rid of it.
Whenever I did any up, I like was so voracious to get down. Like,
yeah,
it was like a minute. It was like,
I can't even tell you how many times all I had was tons of Coke, and I just had to suffer through it.
Or, but it wasn't suffering for you. It was like the weird.
Well, I would keep running it back, and I'd do more and more. But then I would try to drink it away. And trying to drink hard liquor when you're shooting Coke, it's really hard. Just getting it in your belly.
It's just nauseating. It's just, like, just the idea. It's just all of it. I'm so clean besides this NyQuil incident aside.
Yeah.
Like, just all of this stuff, it's kind of like, I feel like a prude. It's like hard for me to stomach it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like, it's like I'm watching Mad Men right now and they're just drinking the whole time. Yeah, and I'm just like, ugh. But I have to say, like, that story where he's dashing and running and dipping and dying. Yeah. It's like you hear him. He's getting crazy on the, yeah, on the thing.
He's getting in a state just telling it.
I am feeling very, very grateful that we have our seats here and we're so safe. Sober.
You know what would be great?
What?
Some sort of tool, some sort of electronic tool.
That kept track of our sobriety?
Yeah. You know, such a thing exists?
There is such a thing. And by some... But thanks to dopey intern number two,
yeah.
Tim Babo.
Wait, were we supposed to say his name?
Why not?
His last name.
Why not?
Is he all right with that?
Why not? He's an intern.
All right.
We're just getting college
we
credit for this.
We don't even say our names.
Doesn't matter. Tim's different than us.
All right, let's don't
Tim's
say
not
anymore.
An addict.
Okay, keep going, though.
Tim got us an ad with, whatchamacallit? I Am Sober app.
Yeah. Check it out, Dopey Nation.
The I Am Sober app is this amazing app for your phone. You can get it at the App Store. Keeps track of your sober time.
It also, doesn't it calculate how much money you've saved by being sober?
To be honest, I don't believe it can really do that. Personally, I don't believe that.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's some sort of metric that you probably input. Sort of
you like using words that you don't know. You can't keep track.
Don't
you think there's some didactic you can plug in for that?
Fucking, did you like that amphetamine-induced psychotic disorder? I think it's actually stimulant-induced psychotic disorder.
I don't even
disorder.
Know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
With Jessa.
No, I can't
going
keep...
out the DSM?
Yeah, I cannot keep track of your incredible...
Do you know what the DSM is? You know what the DSM is, right?
I don't know what
it is. Do you know the difference between a psychiatrist and a psychologist?
Yes. I know that you can't even... You pronounce psychologist like a Canadian. It's like Coolidgist.
That's how us future psychologists pronounce it.
I don't think so. I don't have the fucking ad information. I don't have the talking points.
I think you covered. You basically,
that's it?
Yeah. Well, and then there's all sorts of other things, other features that you're going to have to download.
Number
to
one,
find those
I
features.
Don't believe yeah. that it can properly calculate how much money you save. However, I do believe that if we have I Am Sober apps, you can make somebody else feel bad because they have less clean time than you. You're like, look at this, Charlie.
That's the way you would use it.
Yeah, I would use it to make other people feel bad about how they had less clean time.
Narcissistic, self-centered.
Does that make me narcissistic? how much money you saved, being able... How about this? Being able to track your sober time for multiple habits, like yeah. sugar.
Masturbation.
Like, masturbation. How much time do you have off sugar?
2 days.
Such a pussy.
Two fucking, and it's off sugar, meaning off like desserts.
And how many days you have off masturbation?
When's the last time? It's been like a week. I mean, I live with somebody. It gets taken care of in other ways. We're still at that phase where that's happening.
What else?
How about you? You want to answer that?
What else?
You
does want it to do?
Turn that around? Dave's over there smiling because he knows I'm going to ask.
Let's see.
How many hours off of it are you?
One. I masturbated when we were recording the first episode.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I masturbated to Jess's owl story. I think that's all we got for the I Am Sober app. But wonderful. I'm going to download the I Am Sober
so
app
am
because I want to see that shit.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
I'm going to download it and I'm going to post it on Instagram.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's
and Dopey Nation, if you don't mind, could you follow us on Instagram, follow us on Reddit, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and write us a review on iTunes.
You're not asking with any conviction. We need you to write reviews on iTunes just to make Omar...
More reviews than home. No.
No, but I just like to rub Omar's face in it. You heard his voice when he came on recently.
I know. I loved that he cared.
Yeah. Home, I don't even know what that is. It's like we got to keep the Mormon and the meth head at bay because they're going to be nipping at our heels.
They're
going to
take
second.
Over, man.
Fucking.
We gave them a
church and
hell
other
of
drugs.
Plug.
They're like not crazy for reviews the way we are.
Yeah. It's home, man.
That recovery elevator, man. We have fucking 3 times the reviews they have, but they're always ahead of us in the top 200 self-help podcasts.
Piss and moan about getting reviews nonstop.
There's something those guys at and then do you see this on Facebook? The people in the share group, they're like, I need a podcast to listen to.
Somebody wrote Dopey.
One person.
And then it got like 3 or 4 comments that seconded it.
They did?
Seconded that emotion.
What did you say?
Isn't that a song? I second that emotion.
Do you know it?
I second that emotion.
Do you know it?
Yeah.
Sing it.
I second that emotion.
It goes, maybe you feel like it's fuck. Oh, God. So, if you feel like loving me, if you've got like the notion, huh?
Keep going.
Maybe you think that love will never call, but a taste of honey's worse than none at all. Oh, little boy, in that case, I don't want nobody. I do believe that that would only break my heart. Oh, and if you feel like love it, why aren't you stopping me?
Yeah, well, keep going.
If you've got the notion,
second that emotion.
You
all right, we got to wrap this up. We got people.
Stay strong,
Dopey Nation, and toodles.
And thank you, Jessa Reed, amazing
thank you,
guest.
Jessa
and thank you, Corey.
Thank
and
you,
we're gonna
Corey.
Play.
And sorry, Neva. We were supposed to play Neva's thing. We still got around it.
I don't know what that is.
We put the call. I mean, there's all these voicemails we haven't played, and if we haven't played yours, we're sorry. And reach out to us so we get back to it. And Neva did that, and I promised her we would, and we still
never,
have.
Never, 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 never.
All right, toodles.
Dobby.
All right, that was a very classic episode with me and Chris and Jessa Reed. And Jessa came back on the show a few times after that. When did Jessa Reed come on Dopey? No, she did DopeyCon IV. I've taken down DopeyCon ID because of a problem with one of the guests. I'm going to take the guy out of the show, and then I will put DopeyCon IV back up. She came back at 4:27 and 2:03. 1:31, 2:03, and 4:27 are the Jessa Reed episodes. I got to do some editing on DopeyCon IV. We did an IV storytelling contest at DopeyCon IV, and Jessa Reed won, and she was fantastic. And that's the end of this Dopey Thursday replay. I don't know if we're ever going to do a Thursday replay again, although it is nice, obviously, to have Chris around. So part of me thinks we will do those. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck we're going to do. I do know it's Christmas. I do hope you enjoyed spending a little time with us back in time. And I would love to hear from any of you. Just write us at dopeypodcast@gmail.com. I hope you guys are having a very Merry Christmas. And tomorrow we have a fucking great episode. New episode with this woman named Jen Dawson. This hardcore hippie, heroin addict. It's very dopey. So, all right, until tomorrow, stay strong, Dopey Nation, and fucking toodles for Chris.
I want to take a walk around the world. I wonder would it do me any good? Until I get some money in my pocket, then I guess I'll just have to walk around my neighborhood. But I want to be good so bad. Wanna be so good, so bad, so bad. I wanna be good, so bad. Bad desire's all I ever had. And I wanna take a ride up in the sky. Watch as airplanes just pass me by. And I wanna see a Lear jetliner take a dive. Just to show all of these people what it means to be alive. But I wanna be good so bad. Wanna be so good, so bad, so bad. I wanna be good so bad. Bad desire's all I ever had. And my shadow's getting smaller and smaller. And it's time to where I stand. Shadows.
getting smaller and smaller, and it's high noon where I stand. And I wonder, would they pay it any mind when I leave this busted city far behind? I'll take the high road, however far it winds, because peace and love are very, very, very hard to find. And I wanna be good so bad. Wanna be good so bad, so bad. I wanna be good so bad. Bad desire's all I ever had. Damn it, all these suckers make me mad. And it's all I ever had. And it's all I ever had. And these suckers make me mad, and I wanna call my dad. And it's all I ever had. 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 And these suckers make me mad, and it's all I ever had. And I wanna call my dad. And it's all I ever had. And it's all I ever had. And it's all I ever had.